Hi, Psychic 101 class. Here's your bonus class on, we're going to talk about fairies. I asked what you guys wanted to talk about as a bonus, and you guys picked fairies, and earth elementals. We're going to talk about what is a fairy, what are the elementals, how do you work with them, what's different about them from the other guides. So it's a fun topic. We're coming into spring, and spring is the time when this fairy world, which is sometimes called the Devic world, so that's D-E-V-I-C. Divas or fairies are kind of the same thing. So people talk about fairies as sort of a general loose term to mean all. I think when they're talking about fairies, they talk about the entire elemental and earth realm. So let's talk a little terminology to start with. So really what's going on is with fairies is that all plants and actually aspects of nature have a certain spiritual energy to them. So a plant, a tree, a flower, a cabbage, a rock, a mountain, a river, all of these things, but particularly plants, have their own little spiritual energy, their own little essence that's a kind of a, you know, exists. Like the plant could die and this part of this etheric or part of the spiritual energy of the plant carries on, much like humans do, like we do with our, when we die, we have this soul aspect of us that lives on. So when we're talking about fairies, we're really talking about the spiritual essence of the natural world, and it's really real. It's really real. And some of you guys will be tuned into this level stronger than others. I love working with these. If you like to be outside, if you know you're a gardener or a tree hugger, or you know, this kind of, like, you're just very drawn to rivers, ocean, that kind of thing, you may really have a strong connection with them. And there are many, many, many different kinds of fairies. I really actually sort of don't like that word, because when people talk about fairies, like, we sort of have this image of, you know, those Victorian pictures of the flower fairies, these which look like little girls in little Victorian dresses. And interestingly enough, flower fairies are not what you think they are. So if you think about what kind of function a flower holds for a plant, what is the function a flower holds for a plant? The flower is the sexual organ of the plant. So flower fairies are, have a one-track mind, and they're only thinking about one thing, and they're funny. They're funny that way, but they're not little innocent Victorian little girls. I don't know where that came from. It's just not how I see them. So there, if it's something that you want to connect with, you know, we're going to talk a little bit later in the call about how, in the class, about how to work with them. They are sort of tricky to work with. They are a little funny. So you do have to know what you're doing when you're going to open up to this realm. So there, and some of them are much more, interested in working with humans. For example, the essences of trees are very connected to humans. So in Native American tradition, the trees were called the standing people, right? So shamans, if you come from a shamanic lineage, or you study shamanism, or if you had a lot of shaman past lives, you may be very keyed into this realm of the earth energies. And the Native Americans called the trees the standing people. So they really understand we are the walking people and the trees are the standing people. And trees are super interesting, actually, because each kind of tree has a different energy or a different spirit to it. Trees generally like people. So if you want to start working with connecting with this kind of energy, I would start with a tree, because they're rather good. And the best way to do it is to find a tree that you like. Each tree kind of has its own personality, and you can look up information on the meanings of trees, the spiritual meanings of trees, the energy of trees. And the druids also, who are shamans, were super into this kind of communicating with trees, and found all trees to be sacred and used the energies of the trees a lot like the Native Americans use the energy of the power animals. So we talked about power animals and how each animal has its own essence, has its own, meaning or energy to it, and each tree does too. So if you study that a little bit, you can look up online and find out the meanings of the trees. It's quite interesting to see if you feel a pull or a draw to that. So I love white pines, which are funny because here in New England, they're considered a junk tree. I don't know what that means, but they're a junk tree. And I love them. They're really good. They're my favorite trees to talk to, that and beech trees. I love beech trees. I love oak trees. Each tree kind of has its own personality if you talk to it. But what you want to do is you want to find a tree, sit with your back to the tree, and you're going to basically do a version of the meditation that we do where you align your spine with the bowl of the tree. You take a deep breath and you put your energy way up into the crown of the tree and you drop your energy down into the roots, like the root energy. So you're energy mapping to the tree, and then you breathe with the tree. Trees have sort of a very slow, and you can really feel it in the spring when the sap is rising. They kind of wake up and they're like, they take a big breath and the energy starts to move through the tree. And then, so you just kind of breathe and connect with the tree that way. And if you go up into the crown of the trees, you can find that the trees all talk to each other or connect with each other through the crown. They have it's a weird thing. This sounds crazy, but this is psychic class, so it can sound crazy, right? They have a hive mind in a way, like a global consciousness, that when you learn how to really ride this energy or talk to it, you can feel that all the trees and the whole planet are connected to each other through this network, through this grid of energy that surrounds all living things. And on the planet, and the trees are a lot about what hold the grid together, what hold the planet together, what create atmosphere, what create oxygen. They keep the soil on the ground. Trees are so, absolutely essential for life on planet Earth. And if you chat with them now, they're really sad because they're getting cut down, and the old growth forests are getting cut down, and the Amazon forests are getting cut down. It's a big crisis in the tree world right now. And we actually, we could pretty much kill ourselves off. If we kill the trees and we kill the ocean, we're sort of dead. So that's what the fairy people are talking to me about. And I noticed that a lot of people, especially young people, are born in the world right now, literally to save the planet. So the fairy world is connected to our world. It exists alongside our world, but they overlap. So our human world is here and the fairy world is here, and there are places where they overlap. They don't exist in the same dimension. They're slightly different, slightly off, sideways dimensions with each other. And there are places where in the world where these worlds intersect. And you can tell because where these places are, because over time people have built temples. All of the stone circles in the Celtic islands have been built on top of places where worlds intersect. So they delineate a meeting point between these two worlds. And I believe that back in the day, people used to know how to cross between the fairy world and our world. And if you cross into fairy world, you actually move into a dimension where these beings are more solid matter. We don't see them as solid matter. Just like we don't see ghosts as solid matter, ghosts are on the other side of us, fairies are on this side of us, and we're in the middle, and there are places where those dimensions overlap or intersect with our world. But I believe that back in the day, people knew, the druids and other shamans have always known how to cross over and share dimensional space with them from an astral perspective. But I actually think there have been times, and there are times and techniques that you can physically cross over. The world is full of stories about, the fairies come and steal human children, right? Or fairies would, men would somehow cross over and enter the world of the fairies and not be able to leave again. I'm pretty sure it's a one-way trip. Or fairies would come over here. So there's some possibilities. I don't know how to do it. I don't know anyone who knows how to do it. But I think it's really actually possible to do that, and certainly was in the past. Mostly, And mostly what happens where we have an opening to the fairy world is at the edges of things. The edge of the land and the water. The edge of the meadow and the woods. The edge of the earth and the ocean, land and the ocean, and or the land and the river. They like the edge of night and day. So dawn and dusk are the most powerful times to see fairies or experience them. And also the edges of the seasons. So the edge between winter and spring, the edge between fall and summer, May Day, around May Day, May 1st, the edge between our world and the fairy world is the closest. So throughout history, throughout cultures, this time of year, there have always been sort of celebrations. May Day, the May Queen is the fairy queen, right? And there's been sort of an honoring of that plant and animal world because we need it. And they need us and we need them. Mostly right now, they need us to not kill the planet. And we need them because we need food. And they are the spiritual essence of everything that's alive on the planet except for us. Humans have their own soul group, and fairies, animals, and all the other elementals have their soul group. And we're interdependent. This is what I want you to know. So fairies and all earth spirits love people who honor the planet. They get happy if you recycle. They get happy if you plant a garden. If you want to work with fairy earth spirits, they love music. And you need to be quiet. You need to be non-threatening. You know, don't go into the woods with an axe and be like, I'm going to cut down a tree, and then expect to talk to fairies. Like, you know, there needs to be an honor or respect for them. The other thing that I want to tell you about fairies is they're very mischievous. And they don't always like humans. I mean, can you blame them? Look at what we're doing to the planet. They think we're stupid and annoying and unconscious and out of sync with reality. And because we're in a very long phase where we've become disconnected or unplugged from the reality that we can't exist without the planet, that we are part of this network, this net, they are pretty mad. So I think it's important to approach working with fairies with a lot of respect. They want you to respect them. They want you to, you know, fairies are part of like what I think of as wild magic. They have wild magic. They don't have the good and evil magic of humans. They don't have a light and a dark. They're part of chaotic magic or wild magic, which is sort of more circle of life kind of magic. It doesn't have a value of good and evil. So say, for example, a shark eats you. You're in the water, you get eaten by a shark. Is the shark evil? No. It's just hungry, and it's an apex predator. You were in the wrong place at the wrong time, and you were lunch. It's not evil. There's no real actual, especially in the animal world, there's no evil or real shadow in there. And when we talk about the fairy world, it's just a little bit of gray area. There are some fairies that, some earth energies, and see, I can't use the word fairies. So there are some earth spirits that are cross the line into sort of malevolence, and they exist. And mostly they don't come around humans. They don't. really, we could actually teach a whole class on this, because an entire class, you know, 5-hour class on this, because there's so many different kinds of earth spirits that it's really hard to catalog them all. And I don't want you to worry about the nasty ones, because they really, they're a little bit like snakes. They, not the snakes are evil, but they avoid humans. And if they see you coming, they just run away. And unless you chase them down or hunt them down, you're not going to encounter them. So don't worry too much about that. But when you're approaching them to work with them, you have to understand that they're mischievous. So they will tease you. They will take things. They will steal things. They will, like, they have a weird thing about cats. They have a love-hate, fairies have a love-hate relationships with cats. They tend to like dogs, but they'll tease your cat, tweak your cat, goose your cat. I remember years ago, I bought a deck of fairy cards, and a really good one by, I think Brian Froud is his name, or David Froud. And I opened the box, and all this energy, fairy energy, like jumped out of the box. And for months after that, I had crazy fairy activity in my house. And they laugh and they're mischievous and they think that we are way too serious. So they're always trying to lighten us up. But they're a little bit of a mixed bag. You can't boss them around. You can't tell them what to do. They will sometimes give you good advice. They're not necessarily great for advice giving unless you're asking a tree, because I think trees are actually a little better at that. I enjoyed having them in my house, and I enjoy working with them. I honor them in my garden. I honor them when I go walking in the woods. You know, I do this, but I come to them with respect. I know that I'm entering into their world. I'm going to do it on my best behavior and be respectful, and they appreciate that. They also like a good time. So if you go into the woods and make a bonfire and play music and dance around and dance and sing and have a good time and drink wine, they show up. They do. They like that. So let's talk a little bit about the elements, because the elementals, are an important part of this. So fairy magic or earth magic. So there are four elements: earth, fire, water, and air. And each of them have an elemental spirit with them. So, and they work with us in different ways, the elementals, or we encounter them in different ways as we move through life. The earth element, the elementals are called gnomes. And you know, garden gnomes? Yeah, they kind of look like that. That's not too far off. They can look really rock-like. Or if you saw the trolls in the Disney movie Frozen, that's pretty good. Like, they look kind of rocky when I see them. And they're really great to talk to. They're calm because it's the earth element. They're grounded. They're rocky. You find them in grottos and caves and quarries. And if you make friends with them, this is the story, the myth, if you make friends with them, they will... they rule all crystals, rocks, and precious metals. So, like a leprechaun is a form of a earth elemental of the gnomes and the earth elementals. And they really do actually guard the pot of gold. So if you're friendly with them, they will show you where that stuff is, and help you get it. And that's, you know, a mountain is sort of like, you know, big rocky mountain is where you would feel this kind of thing. And it's nice because if you need grounding, you may want to put rocks in your pocket. You may want to go sit in a cave. You may want to sit on a rocky outcropping, climb a mountain, and connect with the energy of gnomes. I like talking to gnomes. I think I see them. I feel them around. They can sit really, 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 really still and look like a rock or an outcropping of rock or a group of rocks. And if you're careful and you're attuned and you have an eye for this, you may see there's something there that's more than that. All right. And I don't see them like with my eyes open. I'm experiencing them psychically, right? So the water elements are called undines. And that's U-N-D-I-N-E-S, undines. And they are basically mermaids. They look like mermaids. They look more fishy than people to me, but they're sort of, and they're different, so there are ones that are in the ocean, there are ones that are in the river. Every body of water that's substantial and enduring has a river spirit or a water spirit that's the caretaker of that place. And they're called undines. And they're curious about humans. Water is the element of emotion. So like if you cry on the bank of a river, they come around. They're curious about that. A lot of them that I see are pissed off right now because the water's so polluted. So there is a river near my house that I walk along next to a lot, and there's a certain pool where I can feel the spirit of the undine there, and she was really, I've lived in this same town for like 20 years, you know, and she was really mad and cranky and upset, and then there was a project to clean up the river. And suddenly she perked up, like she used to come and she looked like sick, like she was, you know, gonna die. And then they cleaned up the river, they took the trash out, they cleaned the water, they stopped the pollution downstream, and she's looking a lot better now when I see her. So, So they're kind of mad, a lot of them, because they're, and the ocean ones are really pissed off because they're, and they're huge, the ocean ones, because our ocean is just on the brink of dying, and if that's so bad if that happens, but, so they're around. Then there's the fire elements. Fire elements are called salamanders, and you can see them if you look into fire. They're not around if there's no fire. Flame, a candle flame, a bonfire, a fire in your fireplace, a wildfire, wherever fire is burning, these things are there. Now, I've heard people say that you can start a fire by calling on the salamanders, by connecting with them. I don't know how to do this. I've always wanted to do this. And when I was little, I used to stare at candle flames to try and make them. I never could figure out how to do it. But I hear tell that it's possible to do that, to connect with the salamanders and call them forth and start a fire that way. And they look like salamanders. They look like little lizardy things made out of fire. They live in lava. They live under the ground. They live in lava. They live in the magma down under the planet. And whenever fire is around us, you can, and if you stare into the fire and you go into sort of a hypnotic fire trance, sometimes you can see them like right, they look like little wiggly, squirty, squiggly things right at the base of the flame where the flame is the hottest. Salamanders. And then the last one are called sylphs, and they are the air elementals, and they make up wind, air, these kinds of things. Often they're represented by birds. They actually look the most like what we think of like fairies. So they look sort of Tinkerbellish, you know, little humanish kind of things, pointy with wings. Kind of often we'll see them as dragonflies. I see them most frequently as dragonflies. And they are smart. So the air element is the element of the intellect and intelligence. And they come around, they like poetry, music, intellectual pursuits are quite chatty. They like to talk. They like ideas. And you can sort of court or call on the air elementals if you, you know, want to think deep thoughts, climb the top of a mountain and be in the wind, right? The study of the elements is quite interesting to me. I quite like it. So generally, we have one or two elements that are really strong. So the water element is really strong for me. That's emotions. And I also have a connection with the air element, which is thought. And so I'm weak in fire and earth, and I need, which is grounding, and fire is purification, but mostly action. So I need to sort of bring more of those elements into my life to balance myself. So you can think earth is grounding and wisdom, fire is protection, purification, and also action. Air is intellect, mental activities. Water is emotions and psychic. So you can think about which ones are strong for you and which ones are weak for you, and bring the energy, bring those other energies into your life by like, you know, if you need to take action, work with fire, put a fire in your fireplace, do some candle meditation, light a bonfire in your backyard and have a, you know, whatever party, do a ritual and burn things, you know. If you need to get more in touch with your emotions or more in touch with your psychic, then you're gonna spend time around water. You're gonna go swimming, take a tubby, sit at the side of the ocean. So we can use the elements in a way to bring balance into ourselves. And not only the elements, but the elementals, which are the spirit energy of these, along with, could be quite helpful. So next time you're out in the woods, you know, next time you're outside in nature, you want to pay attention to any animals you see, and then you're going to refer to the information on power animals, because power animals are part of this earth energy medicine or earth energy spirit guides. And then practice with a tree, because the tree is a really great place to start. And if you want to try and see fairies or connect deeper with these elemental spirits, edges of things, edges of time, go with caution, and respect and humility, and you'll begin to catch glimpses of them. And the other way to do is to get a set of the fairy cards, and work with them that way. If you like that and you want to bring them up, that way the fairy cards are a really great, boost for working with fairies and elementals. But like I said, they're, you know, funny, they're mischievous, they're not always reliable. Some of them are, some of them aren't. So it's an interesting field to explore. And if you feel drawn or pulled to that, I totally encourage you to do that just because it's cool. So there you go. That's our question. That's our class about fairies and earth spirits. Good luck with it. And I hope you enjoyed our bonus class. Talk to you soon. Bye.